Hello and welcome back to this bonus.
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 It's so hot. I'm gonna have to take off my thong.
Wait, is it? It's too hot for the thong?
Not the rest of my clothes.
Yeah. No, how marginal of an improvement does that make?
I'm leaving off the overcoat, but I'm taking the thong off.
Yeah. Yes.
Overcoat on, trousers on, thong off, freeballing it.
I mean, taking off your thong, but not your pants, coat, or shirt when it's too hot is like a marginal improvement in line with the startups to solve the housing crisis that are like, we've pre-built the houses.
That's right, we've taken off.
It's what they're
going to
have
thong.
The players do at Qatar at the next World Cup.
How many more people you can fit in a house if no one can wear a thong?
I don't know. About what number of N times area of thong?
Makes you much more aerodynamic taking
that is,
off a thong.
Right.
Look, just personally, I think that wouldn't make a difference.
So we all have heat madness. Yeah, I have vaccine madness.
I have.
I got shit. I got vibes, and that's
birthday
it, baby.
Madness.
Birthday madness. Birthday treat king.
It has been my birthday weekend.
Oh, if you're listening to this, it's no longer Raleigh's birthday. Do not send Raleigh a birthday greeting. It's not investment advice.
It's not investment advice.
Legally, it's not Raleigh's birthday. Or factually.
And I have come to realize that the bounty of the sea is the birthday boy's reward.
Ah.
Yes.
That's true.
Right, he went to the sea captain's restaurant, and there was a legal case in which he said, "'Tis no man."
Yeah. I have been just eating. I have been eating shellfish for like
Riley,
3 days.
When are you now that you're aged? When are you going to replace your habitual baseball cap with like a sea captain's hat, like a yacht cap,
like a deer stalker?
I want one of those
maybe?
Big admiral's hats.
Hold on,
you know,
yeah.
There's only one admiral here, motherfucker.
Right. I do. I did have like a captain's hat, like a yacht captain's hat.
It
so.
Used to be in your Twitter picture.
Yeah,
the real
did.
Day one Riley heads.
I feel like I lost it. Anyway. So I've been enjoying eating lots and lots of shellfish.
It went down with the shit.
And then today, I've given myself bicycle madness by deciding that for my birthday, I wanted myself and a couple of friends would cycle down from London to Brighton.
Yeah, us on a big tandem bicycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with a seat for every host of Trash Eat. Yeah.
It's very fun.
I don't know why I'm telling you all this. You were there with me on that bike. We're still recording this podcast from the bicycle.
That's
we're 25%
right,
of the way up Ditchling Beacon, and we're going to get up that mountain at some point.
That's remarkable that you would say that, because I recently had a dream where I was trying to record a podcast on a bicycle with my two Kill James Bond co-hosts, and we were attacked and killed by coyotes. Oh. I don't know what this means.
Yeah, and with on our tandem bicycle that we have.
Now, exactly. Look here, Mr. Bond. Seems like an ordinary tandem bicycle, but if you press here, coyote pheromones are produced.
The main piece of advice that I have for you for starting
don't
a new podcast is...
at pretty much any point, Mr. Bond.
You have to get a tandem bicycle with as many seats as you have hosts, and then you ride it around and you record on that.
Yeah.
Really, Nate figured out with hell of a way to die just having two guys.
Yeah. Well, so then if the internet ever goes down, what we can do is we can ride it around London just shouting out our opinions.
That's right.
Anyway, before we start into our review of episode 4 of Years and Years, Inter Alia, I wanted to...
Is that the title of the episode?
No. Shut up. I wanted to read a letter to the editor in the Times that Mick Wright has posted on Twitter. Utterly appalled. I have bought Scott's porridge oats for many... Now, before we go on, how would you describe the man who is usually on Scott's porridge oats?
He's a large fella. He's got a short, which he is attempting to put, and he looks like he will succeed because he's a big chap. He's in a kilt.
He's a big lad.
Yeah. So,
big lad in a kilt.
Well... Well, here's
that's
the
huge hog hanging out the bottom of the kilt there.
Devin, allow me to change your understanding.
No.
Not only I have bought Scott's porridge oats for many years, not only because of the quality, but because of the hunky Scotsman on the front of the box.
This woman is like the only... She exists in the mind of Don Draper and nowhere else. Like, I don't believe... Who was buying it because of the Scotsman?
I don't know.
This one lady.
Yeah. Like the
was down bad,
down
as the kids say.
Atrociously bad.
In my local Waitrose.
I'm going to throw a heavy metal ball at my head.
In my local Waitrose today, I was dismayed to see its rebrand. Gone is the sexy alpha male with the nugget smile, replaced by a strange millennial with no pecs. I am outraged.
Yeah, it's part of the feminization of our society. We're transing up the Scots porridge oats guy.
Scots porridge femboy now. What's the world coming to?
I feel like this is someone who... It's the fact that she's not a columnist is a waste. It's a waste of what I think might be a once-in-a-generation talent.
Yeah,
this is someone who's sort of angry that the oatmeal is no longer horny. And again, like, we know that there's sort of this omnidirectional anger that things are being cause kind of made worse is, you know, a creature of the right-wing media. She could have been a brilliant spectator columnist.
Our
she could have been
run off with the Scots porridge oats gate, and I wouldn't mind, but it's not the regular one. It's the soy one off the new box. I mean, that's just insulting, that is. I've got a bit Billy Connolly.
That's right.
You know,
Scots porridge soy.
Right. Just write back to her asking how she feels about trans women, and we could probably get her a column in like 4 to 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should...
Unless it's positive.
In which case, never seen again.
Yeah. I think I think she is tapped into the same thing. She is sipping from the same chalice as Brendan O'Neill.
It's fucked up how they made the Scots porridge oats guy put his pronouns on the box.
Yeah.
Of Scots porridge oats.
My pronouns are shot put.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Brendan O'Neill should have a pimp cup. I reckon we should organize that for him.
I think we should get Brendan O'Neill something nice.
We should get Brendan O'Neill into lean. That's what I think.
I think Brendan O'Neill should get like a new baseball cap. His old one. Look, we're all going to do a whip round, and we're going to get Brendan O'Neill a hat.
Yeah. Or a tandem bicycle with as many seats as there are columnists at the Spectator.
Yeah, exactly.
They can all just ride around their big conference table.
All right.
The most concentrated transphobic bicycle in the fucking world. Jesus Christ.
After the one that Biden gave to Boris.
That's right.
9-7.
Look,
it's the bonus episode.
It's the bonus episode. I've got bike madness, as I already said.
Scots porridge oats man, and I'm taking off my kilt.
The name of this podcast is Trash Future.
That's right.
Look, it's the TF bonus episode. We've got Devin, and we're talking about years
and
years
ago.
They
know who we are.
It's the bonus one.
This is my fifth appearance on Trash Future, and all of them have been bonus episodes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You got to pay for the dev.
Yeah,
you keep me behind the paywall, and I respect it.
Here's the thing, right? The thing is,
it does not grant you access to the executive lounge.
Yeah, you got to put me on a free for that.
Yeah, you have a staff access to the executive lounge.
we're like running you up like economy air miles.
That's right. I wish I would love a situation in which we could give our guests air miles.
Yeah. If you get free food and drinks in the lounge, but only ones that are like shortly going out of date, like you have to come in the back way.
I think we should have more treats, right? We should have more bribes. If you are on, let's say, 50 mainline episodes, we should have to give you like a gold watch or something.
Yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations on not having anything better to do.
Who's closest
anyway,
to making
before we start, I have to ask the traditional TF summer question, is how are we all beating the heat today?
Oh,
well, mostly just
for
the...
I've got the shortest jorts you can fucking imagine. I bought some tiny ones and then cut off another 5 inches
You've
of leg.
You've gone reverse Kevin Smith.
I look incredible.
I took off my thong.
Yeah. Devin, what you've done is you've become like a Devonshire Sealess commando. The Rhodesian guys with the tiny shorts.
Hell yeah.
I
thought you were doing a Devonshire idiot bit.
No, not at
the
all.
The Devonshire idiot commando brigade vomiting on the enemy.
Gross. We're going to talk about years and years. Episode
must we?
4.
Can't we have podcast outside today, sir?
No, Alice, it's so hot outside.
I couldn't possibly take off this teaching thong that I wear at Dulwich College.
I bet at Dulwich College they have a teaching thong.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, 100%. Yeah. How do you know about that?
They made us promise not to say anything about the teaching thong.
Hello, boys. Yeah. I hope you're all wearing your learning jock straps.
Ah, schools.
Ah, welcome to yoga with me, the pedophilia master. The yoga master is away in prison for pedophilia.
In fairness, it really didn't help that they insisted on master every time rather than teacher. Every time.
Yeah. I wonder what that does. Anyway.
probably nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. Anyway, let's talk about Years and Years, episode 4.
If we must.
I hate it.
Daniel.
Stupid.
Daniel, Russell Tovey, and Victor are in Spain, having just gotten engaged, and they'll be living together in Spain. However, because I guess a lot of immigration rules have changed unrecognizably in the last 7 years, such as spouses not getting legal status, for example, the populace took it out, I suppose,
yeah,
along with the rest of it.
And also remember, this is 2026. Yep. Like, society is unrecognizably different 5 years from now.
Except, of course, for all the stuff that's expensive to make look different.
Oh, yeah. All the cars look exactly the same.
All the cars look the same. There's still ZZs.
Yeah. Yeah. The self-driving car that talks to you, it's a Renault Zoe. It's a car that you can buy now. I presume they've made some aftermarket upgrades.
Yeah. They've tweaked it.
I call my Knight Rider Renault Zoe.
That's why they named it that.
Yeah.
Give you a sense of personal attachment.
Please, Michael, I'm only a car. I'm mostly a figment of your imagination, huh?
So they
<Va-va-voom>.
Talk about how they're going to live a wonderful, boring life together. And that they're it's amazing. They have whole villages, house squares, 3D printed by the sea, and it's like we have that now, and it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Is some news going to happen?
I love it when I start an episode and there's two characters I like. Well, I hate them, but like I like them the most out of any of these fuckers talking about
it's a low
good
bar.
Their future's going to be.
Yeah.
Really, like, the equivalent of whipping out the photo of your sweetheart in a World War II movie. Like, oh, you're fucked, bud. Sorry.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
What do they call that? Chekhov's obvious foreshadowing.
That's right. I'm going to be
Chekhov's clumsy writing.
A1 in author school.
I can't wait to go see my sweetie. She's already pregnant. Anyway, I'm going to go do this mine clearing in these steel-toed boots.
I pull up. This is it's slightly relevant. My favorite fucking example of that was in The Walking Dead, season 3, I think. There was a character called Axel, and he was a nobody background character. And then they made him, in one scene alone, start talking about his family. And in the very same scene, fucking shot him in the head. Point blank.
Classic.
It was like, fantastic.
A classic move.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's the rule of The Walking Dead. No talking about your family or we shoot you in the head.
Yeah, that's right.
Simple. It's like Oxbridge Colleges. So. No talking about religion, politics, or women unless it's the Virgin Mary or the Queen.
That's right. They have some sex, but then there's the sound of the news happening outside.
Oh, yeah. No.
They have another shitty gay sex scene, which, despite being written by a gay dude, is not like, I don't know. And then news. The future has happened.
If I were to have gay sex, I would do it missionary.
Mm. Yeah.
So
if you're
like with the lights on, but like down and with like soft music, maybe.
Yeah. So if
I'd
you're out
on
there,
some Lamar and have missionary gay sex.
Yeah, DM Milo.
Do you like Fame Academy winners and like awkward missionary sex?
So here's what happens. The news happens, and there is agitations in the street. The situation in Spain means a left-wing government is being replaced with a far left government.
Oh no!
Shit.
No, they
Jeremy Corbyn!
They overthrew the Socialist Party in Spain and replaced it with Nueva Esperanza, which is brought to power in a sort of revolutionary moment.
They replaced it with the fourth Star Wars
Jeremy Corbyn obtains Spanish citizenship through his wife, moves to Spain, and conducts his plan to like do communism there instead of the UK.
So, the Scots porridge oats guy, soy as fuck over there in Spain.
And then Victor says, looking directly to camera, you go far right, far left. Eventually, you meet in the middle. Ideology!
Yeah. So that's right. It's the far-left party comes into power in Spain and deports everybody without citizenship immediately.
Yeah.
Because...
That's right, baby.
Yeah. because Russell T. Davies probably like read in the Times that Jeremy Corbyn was going to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. let's not like insult anybody's intelligence by pretending that like nominally left-wing or nominally communist governments can't be racist or do racism, but it's clearly like everything else in this fucking show is half-remembered one news article from 2019 and just sort of it all went into the soup.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's the Soviet army in the Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this is the other thing about it, is that like they don't at any point, they never really explain in this show why anything is happening or even the mechanics of how it's happening. They just kind of say like, yeah, that's happening. Like, we have to leave Spain now because the far left are in power. And like, they literally don't even say why. They just sort of, it's kind of assumed that, well, if the far left are in power, surely we must leave. So it can't be safe to be gay anywhere where the far left are in charge.
So basically, I've been thinking about this, right? Which is that in years and years, politics is carried on as an extension of the media, right? And there are people are paying attention to the wrong media and getting hyped up on Viv Rook's TV channel or whatever, and then sort of based on what people say in the media, so flows the politics. And I think because Russell T. Davies is a creature of the media, right? I think he essentially overstates the causal power of the media only, minus any political forces. Like, no one has any politics in years and years. They just have media consumption choices, which is basically what's true for us as well. But the difference is there is no politics in years and years outside the media. And so
they don't have podcasts.
And so they have so basically there's no explanation for why anything is happening other than just everyone's watching the wrong TV shows. Right, it's almost like it's
yeah, years and years.
That's right. Everyone's watching the bad news, and the thing is, for given that everyone's in years and years is obsessed with the news and can't stop watching the news and talking about the news,
Get them started on ISIS, folks.
Don't even get them started on ISIS. Nevertheless, it's another sort of view into the kind of easy British liberalism that sort of most of your standard sort of Lib Dem Keir Starmer voters have, which is a sort of common sense view, just that there is this sense of badness and that sort of baffling people, and that in order for the badness to go away, the right stuff just has to be broadcast on the media.
Yeah, it's the rally to restore sanity.
Yes, exactly. It's what if they made the rally to restore sanity into a TV show?
Yeah,
I think we need one every year.
I think we should have the rally to restore insanity, led by the Joker.
Yeah. That would be good. Pride, am I right?
Yeah, he would just think that would be a normal rally. Yeah. Actually,
we have
King does not belong at the rally to restore sanity.
That's right. It is purely for insanity.
Yeah, when I saw Jon Stewart walking a man on a leash to go talk about how Obamacare maybe went too far.
Now that's the real referendum.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think it would be a lot more fun if creature of the media was one of those old-timey code words for being gay.
Uh-huh.
I'm something of a creature of the media, you could say.
Like a friend of Dorothy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fun. Mm. Well, anyway, back to years and years. Grexit then happens. And
oh, shit.
Which is given about as much thought in this show as, like, fucking don't even get me started on ISIS. Yeah. Like, Brexit happening is a throwaway thing, which is very funny.
And then Grexit happens.
We have a ceremonially thrown a donkey off a church roof, and now we're no longer in the European Union.
That's right. So President Mike Pence, who again is being controlled by Donald Trump behind the throat,
talking
which
about
is
Greece
so
still.
Funny.
I was like, now that is a move.
So, the hell is Pence? Era Malaka.
He's made the Greek Air Force
very
great.
Very conservative. It's difficult for me in Greece. Can't be in a room without my wife. But
Mike Pence governing from Mount Athos, this fucking monastery mountain where only male animals.
Everyone
were
in Greece, they now have the Playmobil haircut. Okay, and
also known as the Dude's Rock.
That is right.
So, under President Pence, who is really actually controlled by Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the puppet, the guy who looked directly into the sun.
Mike, I'm going to need you to talk more Greek, okay?
I'm not gonna give you reasons. I just need you to do it.
They're a classic people.
Trump, who is still president, after launching a nuclear weapon at China. And then peacefully ceded power to Mike Pence.
There's a donkey out there. I'm going to need you to throw it off that church roof. But a
very, very sloppy donkey.
A lot of people, yeah, it's very
Mike
sad.
Pence brackets Greek.
They're going to tell you not to do it. They are, but you should.
So they also banned the use of Spanish in public places in the United States. You cannot speak Spanish.
For a second, I thought you were saying in Spain, like the far left have made it illegal. Simply, these days. Nueva Esperanza will arrest you and throw you in the Spanish gulag just for saying you're Spanish.
Right.
Yeah, actually, the problem was people saying they were English in Spanish. And they couldn't have that.
The UN removes its headquarters from American soil, and then all of the achievements of the latter half of the 20th century that have become our culture war, America's culture war battlegrounds today, such as same-sex marriage and Roe v. Wade and stuff, are sort of all overturned and undone.
Oh no, the liberalism broke.
Yeah. I'm impressed Roe v. Wade made it to 2027.
Yeah, made it through two Trump terms and half of a Pence term.
Hell yeah.
People really like Sonia Sotomayor's dissents.
She just keeps knocking them out of the park, baby.
So with in Britain, Labour and Conservatives are hopelessly deadlocked. Viv Rook is the kingmaker party, the Lib Dems of this situation, who wielded such power in the coalition.
She's deep in the swin zone.
Yes, Viv Rook is in the swin zone. Everyone's calling it.
They call this situation the Parliament of Water.
I'm so glad you flagged that because I would have.
Fuck off. Nobody would call it that. Right? That's some kind.
Done that since the 1600s.
Yeah, that's some Elizabethan shit.
Day one world building ass name.
People on Twitter are calling it the Parliament of Dickheads. Cool.
I'm calling it that.
Yeah, they it's Britain, so they'd be calling it the Parliament of Cockwaffles or something.
Yeah.
That's
so cool.
Fuck nuggets.
Should have had a second wooferandum.
So,
Parliament to restore sanity.
Edith says, it's our fault. We voted them in. Rosie replies, there's always Vivian Rook. She could smash the system. And anytime Emma Thompson is on screen, she's always looking directly at the camera and being like, but what if I told you a comforting and exciting lie? Would that make you go politically insane?
What if a disabled person was racist? Yeah.
There's always a shadow lingering over her upper lip. It's fucking, it's so fucking, if you want the level of subtlety this is on. When they have the election, right, we see her on her own private news channel where she's tampering with the vote by lying to people. And there's the clumsiest Last Supper allusion you have ever seen in your fucking life, where she's standing in the middle of the middle of the table and just got fucking doubting Thomas and shit. It's atrocious.
Incredible. I love Vivian Rook. Just constantly going.
You'd vote for her.
They're telling me not to swear on television, but would they tell the Joker not to swear?
Would they tell MILF Hitler not to swear?
So, yeah, MILFler.
Remember, here's another quote.
MILFler.
Yeah. I hope everyone's enjoying this episode of TF where we all have heat madness.
Was ist das? That Stacey's mom. Having Katan here.
So, what I love is...
I genuinely think we may have received heat madness because I distinctly remember us making the exact same MILFler joke on the previous episode about the previous episode of Years and Years.
I don't know, probably.
At the Nuremberg trials being if Stacey's mom has got it going on, then the world has got it going on.
So
you're telling me that one woman has all of this going on in one small right. Nine. This is lies.
So, they say, remember years ago when we used to think the news was boring?
No, I don't.
Now we hide. It's like in school, Edith remarks. They tell you about the olden days with sun kings and plagues and people electing pigs. And now it's all come back. It's happening again.
The news is actually more boring now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was history happening in, like, the 1990s and the 2000s.
I mean, this, I think we've talked about this before. We
invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. There were two wars.
And, I mean, again, if Russell T. Davies, I think, was sort of a better political... If this was a better politically observed show, it would be about how maybe these people were not politically engaged, but then have been made politically engaged by a feeling of insecurity.
Oh, sure.
But it's not, he has not observed that.
No.
He's instead just been like,
they're just normal. They're just normal.
Yeah, the news is on the phones now, and it's driven everyone insane. And, well,
be on their phone, and the phone be in your hand.
Yeah, and the lady swore.
People be turning into their phones.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, we go back to also, like, yeah, with sun kings and plagues and people electing pigs. Ah, it turns out we're still in history.
Fuck.
So,
shit.
Stephen,
fuck.
I know we've done Roman Baz, but what about, like, Roman Islington Liberal?
Okay.
That's just actual Roman.
You know, all the just, you know, do you remember when, like, there was no news? We just had Augustus and everything was fine. And then now there are all these Visigoths. Like, when did that come? Before, you didn't have to pay attention to the Senate, did you? It was just fine.
I mean, isn't
like
that most
90% of like surviving Roman discourse?
Yeah, that's like most late Rome. That's most history of Rome written in the late Roman period. It's just people saying, "Oh, remember when we had these sort of brilliant good emperors?" And you know, now it's all Visigoths this and Visigoths
Augustus
that.
Oh my God, Augustus is Roman Tony Blair. Yeah. and like,
kind of.
And Tacitus is like fucking Roman Andrew Adonis.
So we also cut back with Stephen. Rory Kinnear, the man who had his ass out in the first episode.
We're never going to let him live that one down.
No. Is Hank Hill last?
The man who has every job in the gig economy.
Well, guess how many jobs he has now?
Yeah, he is the gig economy by this point. He's just doing all of it by himself.
Yeah, how many jobs have you got now, and how many jobs does he have?
He's like one of those one-man bands. He's got like
how many jobs?
13.
It was 12, wasn't it?
Devin.
I don't remember. 11?
11!
3,
yes.
Personally.
It's 11.
Fuck.
Devin was right. That means you get...
You get some air miles.
100 bonus miles that you can use on Tuesdays through Thursdays in October.
They're available on Air Yugoslavia.
Yeah, do you want a flight to Vienna?
A business class flight on Ryanair.
Yeah, you can travel...
we don't spring to business class.
No, it's
the weirdest flex on Earth is to get a business class on like the cheapest plane you can.
Yeah, I'm in first class Ryanair.
Yeah. I got a cabin on my Wizz Air flight. I'm using the in-plane shower. So he's got 11 jobs now because, again, the gig economy has not been very well observed
by
Russell T. Davies.
Go on, give me a list now.
He's a delivery driver. He's a food delivery driver. He's a van driver. He's a pharmaceutical test subject.
Yeah,
that's
the new
one.
That's
the new
job. Hang on, these are all jobs that I've literally done.
He has a comedy podcast. He has an OnlyFans.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a rich girlfriend.
Chatterbait, Twitch. What are we talking about?
Yeah, he does a thing called the YouTube Zone. Tuesdays and Sundays, 9 p.m.
Rory Kinnear.
It's Thursdays and Sundays.
I understand. Lineage. Vaccine madness.
Yeah. What if I told you that it was very, very hot?
I'm wearing a lot of dark colored cloth on my head. Of course I'm fucking hot.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? Wear a different one.
Yeah.
A lighter one.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
All right. So, Steven's taken on this new part-time job for medication trials. And basically, again, we have another sort of, you know, sort of ponderously set up Chekhov's gun, where
Chekhov's musket being primed over and over, you get a big tamping rod shoving it down there.
Set up reminder payoff are like the three consecutive scenes.
Yeah, it's Chekhov's Schwerer Gustav.
Yeah, so
just wheeling the railgun into position.
Chekhov's ballista, three men cranking a wheel to pull it back.
Chekhov's trebuchet.
So Chekhov's trebuchet spends the first act like getting loaded and painstakingly hoisted, because wouldn't you know it, this medication trial is going to be annoying for Steven in ways that have ramifications for the story.
Oh, no.
Because he's because he says, since Britain left the EU, they have to test all medications from scratch in the UK. Another Guardian article half remembered.
Mm-hmm.
It's an epilepsy drug he's testing out.
He's testing an epilepsy drug.
And he gets
drug.
A funny side effect.
It's not how medical trials work.
Yeah, that's...
They just do the trial and then your local regulator certifies the trial or not. The regulators don't do the trial. How do you not know this?
No, the populace brought it in, Milo.
They've
New
done
Vault
that as
fucking
well.
Slaps.
First, it was the temporary eye balance protections. And to be honest, I was quite annoyed about that, despite being weirdly unruffled by nuclear war. I was very upset about the temporary eye balance protections. But I was prepared to allow it. But then... they changed the medication regulatory bureaucracy procedures. And that was where I drew the line.
Yeah, far left,
and
far
right.
And
the band was Shawaddy Waddy.
Yeah, you also, go into a room, they inject you with something, and then who knows? Yeah. That's the trial, baby.
Love being injected with unknown chemicals.
Now you have to get your honorary Royal Marine Beret from scratch.
So again, and this is something where it's like, in an ordinary show, I wouldn't be saying, they got the rules for clinical trials wrong in order to make, like, a story point.
Yeah.
But again, if what you're setting out to do is make a keenly and subtly observed prediction about what the ramifications of political events of the late 20-teens are going to be, if you're going to then, like, you know, try to do some world building by getting those observations wrong, it sort of undermines what you're trying to do.
And also because he's a rules lib. Like, everything about this show is about the fucking rules. You've kind of got to get the rules right. Mm-hmm.
No, because you just love the concept of the rules. It's just about worshipping rules qua rules. Because we love rules because they make things predictable.
Rules and rules, that's what the show should be called.
They should call it Rules and Rules, in my opinion. You heard about this rally to restore sanity?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Got my sign ready, baby.
We're sending all of our maddest people on a march in the hope that it's going to turn them sane.
So
some Caligula shit.
Rosie, the sister in the wheelchair who's also like, I just think it's they have shops in Ukraine. The one Russell T. Davies hates. Is going to start a pies and burgers truck out of a Ford Model T, buying it from a guy called John Joe, who she appears to be shagging. They have a little party at Muriel's house. They're always having parties at Muriel's house.
Yeah.
That old bitch
loves it.
Yeah.
She's getting lit 24/7.
To celebrate the launch of this new food, which again, this food, aside from the fact they're saying, these burgers are made of acorn and paper, nothing
again,
changed.
5 years from now.
Yeah.
Every burger you can get is made of, like, implausible ingredients. Mm-hmm. Like, not even meat substitutes that we have now. It's all just like, this one's made of paper. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Why would you make a burger out of that? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
The populace took away the meat substitutes. Right, yeah. We have to make the burgers out of paper.
Like, you can't make a burger out of paper. It would just be paper. That would be papier mâché. That's not a burger.
Yeah, the populace made it, so we have to have papier mâché burgers.
Taken over.
Now you have to eat wood.
It's like Soylent Green, but written by somebody with a severe head injury.
So this is now where sort of Celeste begins to realize that Steven might be giving up that Hank Hill ass of his to another woman.
We see him sexting.
That's not true.
Yeah. We see him sexting, and this man sexts like Derek Mackay.
Yeah. Hi.
He sexts like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Mm. Do you like rugby?
Do you want to go to space?
Do you want to see my weirdly narrow ass? Like, it doesn't belong on my body. Do you want to see my Franken ass?
I want to see a narrow ass white boy.
Yeah.
You never want any aspect of your sexual anatomy to be described as remarkable.
Yeah.
Really not what you're looking for ever.
Confusingly.
Yeah.
Got my non-Euclidean ass. It's concave.
So, got a troubling ass. It's got like dimples, you know? It like goes in too far. It's fucked up.
White boy ass got me acting troubled.
It's perfectly concave.
Yeah, Rory Kinnear ass got me acting emotionally disturbed.
So basically what's happened is that anytime Rory Kinnear sits down, there's like a suction motion as he gets up.
He can't get straight up. He has to twist.
I got this like side effect from the epilepsy drug where my ass is like a suction cup on any surface.
I can't believe we left the EU and now my ass is a suction cup.
I went for a shit and now I'm trailing an entire roll of toilet paper behind me because my ass is locked onto it.
I feel like we're creating a better show than Years and Years is here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, here's an emotionally resilient point about cheating or some shit.
Yeah, who knows?
So, not chat enough to be Polly.
Yeah. So Lincoln, the kid who's born in the first episode, runs by wearing a long T-shirt, and I think Russell Tovey is like, "Are we calling that a T-shirt? Or are we calling it a dress? I don't even think it matters anymore." And it's like, "Oh, maybe
I don't care if you're black, white, or purple."
Yeah, don't. It's all T-shirts are dresses, and all dresses are T-shirts.
I do. If you're purple, that's fucked up.
Yeah, you've been taking that colloidal silver.
Yeah, if you're purple, then that means we've left the EU and they're testing a new aspirin on you.
Yo, is that Milo from the 20s?
I don't care if you've got a normal ass, a suction cup ass.
I don't care which member of the 20s you are. Jake, Bella, Milo, the other one. I'll fuck any of them.
So they make a plan.
And they're all wearing clothes that Roddy would plausibly buy.
Right. So they're all they make a basically that's they have this continued problem, which is that Victor is stuck in Spain and is going to be deported by the far left government at any moment for reasons.
Yeah, and it's the most affecting part of this show, which is the fucking guy, Russell T. Davies, right?
Yeah.
Just hammering in, the things that we do to migrants and the things that we force them to do. Pretty bad, pretty fucked up, bad. And in playing that more or less straight down the line, that's the least remarkable and also best part of the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of that at all. It's actually quite resonant to me.
As I've been talking to my friends and so on about Years and Years, because like, hey Riley, what are you talking about on the podcast recently? I'm like, have you seen the show Years and Years? I've sort of been talking.
And
to
like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, don't.
So I've been talking to people just about it in sort of conversation when they ask me about it, and I always end up basically saying kind of the same thing, which is that the Daniel Victor storyline is basically surrounded by a lot of just really annoying bad TV.
Yeah,
and
should have just written a thing about current migrants and dead people to empathize with that.
And I think
you know?
And I think that's the other thing, right? Which is he had to. That there's no sort of fictive devices are really required to write that story. Yeah. It doesn't need to.
Other than not trusting the viewer not to empathize unless you have like a couple of white guys in there. Yeah.
And also two of the most annoying white guys I can think of.
Yeah.
Like it's like he doesn't even write like particularly you sympathize with them because of the situation, but they're both pretty annoying characters. Like I don't like dare me to empathize with them. That's what you're doing.
So, anyway.
Look, I've risked my life for Ukrainian twinks before, so this is
in Spain we now have el governamento muy luevo. Now we have a total ban on the twinks.
So basically they're like
Scott's porridge oats guy is only getting hunkier and
I'm not right. allowed to go to Spain because the Foreign Office has recommended against travel to Spain. So basically, they cook up a plan for Daniel to fly to Spain.
Can't stop you going to Spain.
Yeah, it can stop your travel insurance from applying, but it can't stop you from going. Unless the populists made the Foreign Office recommendations mandatory.
Yeah, that's all right. They did that.
So if you're funded, but they say, if you're funded by the Arts Council, you can go into war zones because maybe artists are the real warriors of cultural change.
I really want like the Royal Grammar School Newcastle production of Macbeth, but it's all set during the Roaring Twenties, to be sent on tour to the Levant. I really want to see that.
So yeah, if you're funded by the Arts Council, you can go into war zones. So why don't you tag along with my friend who's with the Arts Council doing like singing and storytelling?
Yeah,
in
she's
a bus.
Like a combat RADA person.
A bunch of people from B-Dales in orange jumpsuits during their production of Macbeth set in Guantanamo Bay, and then they're captured by ISIS.
Oh, don't even get me started on them.
Yeah.
So the plan basically is for Edith, the sort of protestery daughter's girlfriend, I believe, who is like the storyteller, which is the real warrior.
Yeah, sometime girlfriend. We're meant to think that it is quite like cool and progressive because she like fucks lady sometimes, but not others. Yeah.
So then they say, we can bring you into the Arts Council and you can smuggle Victor out. So anyway, There's another general election because the Parliament of Water dissolves because no one, none of these clowns in Westminster are able to agree.
How's water going to dissolve?
Dissolve water.
Yeah. Fucked up.
I mean, that's my wording, not Russell T. Davies's. Yeah. So.
Well, it might not be. Hang on.
Well, let's pick on you for a minute then, Riley. What the fuck do you mean by that? Going to dissolve water, wait, are you, mate? Call yourself a podcaster.
I'm actually
going to
disagree with
Wordsmith, are you?
Matthew, when you get
here.
No, it
is his words. Right.
I love
it does
talk
say
sport.
The Parliament of Water's been dissolved. I'm looking at the script here.
Okay.
Cool.
Nice. Are you off the fucking hook, Riles?
That rant was now directed at Russell T. Davies.
Yeah, so listener, please edit the podcast such that it sounds like Milo is talking about Russell T. Davies. Do not edit the podcast to make it
sound
like
can we just have Nate edit, just change the names in a totally, like, Nate reads the name Russell T. Davies in a totally flat tone.
Oh, fuck you, Russell T. Davies.
Apparently, he says that's a massive pain in the ass to do.
What's going to happen is we're going to ask Nate to do that, and then he's going to put in the Price is Right horns.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to make me do it.
God, horns
they're going to be coming any second now. Anyway, so cut to one of my favorite sort of parts of this show is Viv's TV channel and seeing the different things that are on Viv's TV channel. So this is Viv
Populism.
Investigates. Are deepfake videos true? So
I love this. Love this bit.
Again, this is like
is so good.
Russell T. Davies
like,
reads a Guardian, again, has heard about the concept of what a deepfake is, and then again, just not going to think any more about what it means. Yeah.
Someone has deepfaked Jeremy Corbyn saying, "I've invented a new nonce detector." Beep, 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 beep.
So, what I love about the title of her investigation, "Are Deepfake Videos True?" is that it's in the
very
name.
Clunky.
Well, it's in the nature of a deepfake that it's not true. I don't understand what the fuck she's on about. Are deepfake videos true? Well, no. If it's a deepfake, it's not really the... That's what a deepfake is when it's not the real thing.
See, the thing is, I think this is... So Andrew Law and I, on our limited series, The Boney Island Whitefish, had a theory that every
the
episode...
Boney Island Whitefish real?
That every episode of Bones was written in the time that it takes to show the episode of Bones. It's a 45-minute episode of television, takes 45 minutes to write. And stuff like this, Viv investigates, are deepfake videos true? Something that would have been caught by a cursory edit has led me to believe that maybe Years and Years might also be a show that is written in the time it takes to run.
I'm going to go a step further and say Years and Years is written half the time it takes to run.
So,
holy shit.
We'll riff it live.
In one bullet point, so that's all we're doing. So
we're spending longer thinking about this than Russell T. Davies did.
Yeah. It would have been a better show if they had let the actors improvise more, I feel.
If they'd let us write it.
Yeah, they should let us write.
Also true.
Russell T. Davies, let us write Years and Years Season 2.
Russell, I know you're listening.
Yeah, further years. So what we get is that in one of the deepfake videos... Oh, yeah, by the way, I was going to say this, actually, is that I was reading about Years and Years, and apparently it was inspired by the Trump election, where as soon as Trump was elected, Russell T. Davies felt he had to get this message out there.
Yeah, of course, because that's what art is for, is to speak truth to power.
Populism bad!
Yeah, yeah, because if people don't say that, then people will think that populism good.
Yeah.
And will become racist.
They're saying that populism's good, and they're right, actually. They are, and I'm sure that there are no British screenwriters, very sad people, who would like to contradict me. Very, very sad. People who probably don't know the difference between the words fake and true. Uh-huh. Okay, people who subscribe to the idea that the populace took away the high balance protections, they didn't, they're still there, you can check it, okay. I had my people look into it, they looked into it very strongly, they're still in place. And the clinical trials also, they work in a certain way, they do very clever people over there. They do the medical trials, the liberals, they won't tell you that, but that's how it is.
So, in one deepfake video, the leader of the Conservative Party says all foreigners should be
a new nonce detector.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. So basically,
and wins a landslide.
I've made a new nonce assistant and wins in a landslide. Basically both of
I've made a new nonce. It's me. Both 80% of the vote.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, Russell T. Davies cannot write something that would convincingly discredit the leader of either party. Because the deepfake Corbyn essentially just goes full Stalin, right? And he's like, well, why don't we kill the rich, take their stuff, and distribute it evenly? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Okay.
Like, I mean, basically, it shows, again, a very sort of loose grasp of the British media ecosystem, because he's like, oh.
They were saying he was going to do that shit for like 4 years anyway.
Yeah, and why do you need science fiction? And again, it's the, I think it just goes to show how kind of little the past sort of 5 years has been internalized by like the elite media classes who wrote and commissioned and sort of enjoyed years and years, because they'd be like, oh wow, what if a labor leader went on TV and said something like that, or we thought, or all this. They never really grasped sort of anything that happened before 2016 as having happened at all. It was all, remember, it was boring, and everything after 2016 for them is really just sort of like, ah, I'm stressed out by the news. And again, a good show, there is a good show to be made about people who are like enervated and stressed out and fucked up by like all of the news that's happening, because that's a lot of people are like that. But
no, it's called The West Wing.
What he's done is he's sort of imagined that the whole world sort of just exists to make the news.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's a number of good shows to be made. Like, every episode of this, you can pull out at least one or two ideas that would have, if they had been the only idea he was exploring, been quite a compelling show. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, he can't stop.
He
refuses to explore any idea.
Yeah.
Could have explored the single idea of Rory Kinnear's suction cup asshole.
Yeah, and we would have given this show five stars.
I could put together an hour of telly about Rory Kinnear's ass. If you are listening.
Like that.
Me.
Yeah.
Look, if Rory Kinnear ever gets on, is Rory Kinnear on Cameo? Yeah. If Rory Kinnear is on Cameo,
if you're listening.
Yeah.
We're going to need you to say the phrase, I've invented a new nonce detector. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep.
If he sat on top of a post box, he would tessellate with it.
No, he tessellates with another guy's ass. That's the important part.
Yeah,
that's what gay sex is. You go ass
is
to
this
ass.
Two Rory Kinnear asses or a young woman wearing a scarf?
Negative space puzzles with Rory Kinnear's ass. I'm excited for what the future holds, truly.
I don't want people to like buy us cameos from like Nigel Farage or Katie Hopkins or whatever. I want people to buy us cameos from like Rory Kinnear, rather. So I've got all mixed
got
up.
Got it on the third
names.
Try. Yeah, we gotta become friends with Rory Kinnear and hope that he like finds our jokes about his asshole as amusing as we do, and then get him to like do our bidding. Yeah.
Do you show ass on OnlyFans, Rory?
Rory, you posted hole yet?
Basically, Viv Rook then appears on Four Star Network and nominally denounces the videos. And then she says the following line, turning directly to camera. And, like, putting on little devil horns. Well, of course they're fake videos. Everyone can see they're not real. But all the same, they really said those things, didn't they?
That's just the same. That's fucking... Stephen Colbert was on this shit with truthiness, because I'm just thinking about the rally to restore sanity now. During the fucking Bush administration, a time when history was happening.
Yeah, the idea... Again, the whole thing is, like... Just like he never really grasped like what Trump was, thinking that he was going to be the power behind any kind of throne, he hasn't really grasped like what the actual power of the right-wing media is. He's just like, yeah, well, they lie, and everyone loves how much they lie, and so we're going to have someone do something like, I'm lying to you right now, and you love it.
Turning up the big lie dial and looking directly to camera for approval.
Yeah, where it's the... It is one of these things where you can, it's the liberal point of, everything's all crazy, what with the crazy media now, but nothing being particularly well observed.
Well, it's like how none of them can parody Trump because they don't understand Trump. Similarly, they can't parody a sort of Trump-esque figure like Vivian Rook or whatever because they don't understand how this figure, and like, no one gets up there and goes like, well, of course, that's not true, unless it is. Like, what the fuck are you doing? What's the unexplained mystery guy? Jonathan Frakes. Like, of course, that one, we made it up. Or did we?
Well, think about it this way, right? Donald Trump accused Ted Cruz as, like, of being the Zodiac killer and, like, accused his dad of killing JFK. And
awesome.
He didn't...
Yeah, both were right.
He didn't do any, like, of course, that's not true shit. He just went, we don't know, maybe.
Prove to me he didn't.
Just asking the questions. Why is he so nervous about it?
the most effective of these people that like that sort of worry Russell T. Davies so much. One of the other things is the most effective ones are clearly like very impassioned and having a good time about it. They're not like Machiavellian string pullers on screen. Oh. Yeah. Like Trump's just out there riffing about Ted Cruz being the Zodiac killer. He's not saying like, what if all of my opponents are actually criminals? Now, of course, they're not. But doesn't it feel like they are?
Yeah,
like,
Donald Trump, the least Machiavellian man in history.
Again, it comes back to like, is that Russell T. Davies' exposure to these people is through CNN or the BBC or the Guardian or whatever, where these people are interpreted for him, and then he has interpreted those interpretations into characters.
Now,
yeah, it's the same kind of shit that like all of the like liberal media did with like Nancy Pelosi is owning Trump with this brooch, or the Queen wearing this color is shading Donald Trump, kind of shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's this kind of strange observation that it's a world where those observations are taken as the basis of fact. That's why it's so strange and why the politics are all so like clunky.
Now, of course, these videos aren't real. But what if I was to tell you that both of these men have a very, very buttery staircase?
That's right.
Look, what if I was to tell you that both of these men have invented a new nonce detector?
Beep, 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 beep.
So
the leader of the opposition, just like they've got him on camera, be like, "I've not invented a new nonce detector. This video's a lie.
I'm using an old nonce detector, British made,
quite reliable.
I welcome the new nonce detector, but I would go back to the government and I would say, what is the problem with the old nonce detector? Because either there was a problem and they failed to acknowledge it, or there's not a problem and they have wasted public money on a new and unnecessary nonce detector. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep.
You can't bring that shit into Parliament. Good God.
Not to be used in Parliament. Look,
the best thing to do, you just have to keep that out of like W postcodes generally.
Yeah, it's
like
a Furby, tackled shut it by police. Tackled by armed police trying to bring the nonce detector into Downing Street.
Like, I mean, you got to keep it out of like W1 and SW3.
He brings it in just to make a point, accidentally switches it on, and Guy Fawkes the entire building.
So, anyway, we're coming to the close of the episode here.
Oh, thank God.
Daniel closes his bank account, takes out all his cash in euros, goes to Spain, smuggles Victor on the bus as planned, and then they, again, for, I don't know what this purpose this line serves, but as they're sort of driving sort of through the streets of Spain, driving through France, they're like, you're lucky
line.
The Schengen agreement's still in place.
The one
I'm
thing the populace
this.
Couldn't take away, the Schengen agreement.
If anything, that's like one of the most like vulnerable elements of like this, of that whole sort of structure.
Yeah, it's like Roe v. Wade. It's like, you really think it's going to last another 6 years?
Yeah. So anyway, Rory Kinnear goes to his mistress's house and they have sex. Also, Edith threatens John Joe with a knife for some reason.
In case he's a nonce.
Yeah.
She's like, you're moving in with a woman who's like vulnerable and who has like young children. And so therefore, I'm going to shit you right up with this knife to make sure that you're not a nonce. Because, if you are, I'm going to stab you to death. She kind of walks in with a knife in one hand. She's like, I've invented a new nonce detector, and if it beeps, I'm going to cut your fucking cock off.
If I detect a nonce in here in the next 15 minutes.
Just walking in with housing rods.
Yeah.
You're a nonce, sorry.
So, those things are very unscientific.
The worst Scousing for Girls tribute band.
Dousing for nonce.
So anyway, Kinnear is given an epilepsy drug to test, as we mentioned earlier, Chekhov's epilepsy medicine. I have it as in the notes. And then he can't stop turning his head left because, again, he's in a clinic. Again, this is just so
that's
far
a hard
from
left
realistic.
Duty, yeah.
Yeah, his A key is stuck and he cannot stop strafing left.
He's become a loony leftist.
Yeah, he's no scope 360-ing everything in his path. Anyway, in what could be a fun comedy of errors moment, both his wife and his mistress are sent to collect Rory Kinnear by the hospital.
Yeah, it's a party.
Yeah.
But instead, it's drama, so
It could have been fun.
Yeah, he like has to have sex with each of them in like adjoining rooms and run in and out through like a cutaway set.
The conjugal rooms in the hospital.
Classic. You should have more like screwball comedies, I think. Bring back carry-on movies.
I'm sorry, but before we can discharge you, sir, you will have to have sex with both your wife and your mistress in separate rooms to prove that you're fit.
Yes, you shall have to go on a date with both of them at the same time at the same restaurant.
Listen here, Mr.
Carry
Bond.
On
a
making
perfectly
the news.
Ordinary wife. But press here and your mistress arrive.
So, anyway.
Do try and keep them separate, Agent 7.
Agent 7.
Agent 7.
It's very hot. Change the name of the group chat to Agent 7.
We've simplified 007.
Yeah.
You need those double O's for.
Yeah, what are the O's seven. For? Yeah, Excel would take those out. We've run everyone through Excel, Agent 7.
It's part of a cost-saving exercise. We've rationalized the 00 program. You're just Agent 7 now.
Well, let the rest of them figure out why we changed the name of the group chat to Agent 7. Anyway, so this all blows up.
Agent 7?
This all blows up because Celeste and Steven drive back to Muriel's house and then... And then she's like, you were having an affair. And Muriel's
Celeste
like,
sicko mode,
I like Celeste now. Get out of the house, Steven. And he goes to
you all thought I were racist, but actually I ate my son.
Celeste went insanely sicko mode.
And Celeste's daughter is like, did you cheat on my mum with a white woman? And when he says yes, she just like leaves him wordlessly, which is cool.
Yeah, which was fucking based, actually.
Yeah. But he is white. Good. I could understand saying that to a black man, maybe. Maybe that would make sense in that situation.
She's like,
but
is
like...
your dick racist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be a pretty fair character moment for her to be upset that her father is
cheated
on her mum with a white girl.
Yeah, I kind of give him this.
Yeah,
the way that it's both written and played is very funny. You have to give me that much.
Yes, it's good. Conceptually, it's fine, but yes, it is definitely.
It's like the way in which the line is both written and delivered is surprisingly casual.
Yeah.
Like she's meant to sound angry, but she's like, "Yeah, you cheated on my mom with a white guy." With a white woman?
The question.
Like, canceling my dad.
Like when the police ask you the really fast question that you answer.
Yeah, she's like fucking
thinking.
Columbo. Yeah.
No, because she asked what color was she, and it takes Rory Kinnear's character a second to realize what she meant.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think it was nice. It was a good character.
Where it catches Rory Kinnear out is when she says, good luck, and he says, thank you.
So
doesn't even let him take the car. Yeah. She makes him cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rory carrying Kinnear. A bunch of like backpacks for his 11 jobs. Which
a situation in which he would have just got a taxi. Yeah.
Can't afford to because of the populace.
No, he's got 11 jobs.
The populace have taken the taxes away now.
Yeah. So he goes to live with his mistress in her one room flat. She's like, oh, by the way, I do yoga at 6 in the morning. So you're going to have to wake up at 6 and go get a coffee or whatever. And you can come back at 7. And he's like, oh, no, my marriage. I have to get back to my marriage. This is inconvenient.
Have you heard of yoga with Adrian, Stephen? Well, it's between me and Adrian, so you're going to need me. What I do with Adrian is none of your business. I don't know why she's Barry Piss. You live with me now, Stephen. Barry Piss.
Your boss.
Those are the populace. You're having an affair with a man now. That's how I don't like it any more than you do, but you'll be sucking me off. But not between 6 and 7. That's between me and Adrian. Now go get a fucking mocha frappe latte.
Yeah, I hear you, mug.
I'm going to crank off to yoga. I'm going to do something.
Do yoga
with Adrian. It's none of your business.
I might be doing yoga. You can't prove anything.
I'll be aligning my chakras.
I love doing TF.
Take your concave ass down to the coffee shop.
Take that beautiful concave ass out of here. Yeah. Rory Kinnear.
I love doing TF when we all have heat madness.
Yeah.
The only man I've ever seen who could get pegged and tessellate with a fupa.
Well, I'm going to be busy from six, so I'm going to pick you up and stick you like a suction cup to the wall.
Weird kink where, like, your dom leaves you suction cup to the ceiling by your ass.
Oh, no. Fucking Rory Kinnear is slowly unpeeling from the ceiling. It's I'm going to climb up there and shove him back off.
You have to, like, rub a bit of spit in his ass just to make sure it suctions correctly.
I'm always doing that.
Yeah, I'm always doing that.
That's the noise it would make.
So,
we are going to get through this episode and
we
then
might
all
not.
Move legally, we're not going to get through this.
We've only got one scene of note to discuss past now. It's good. We can do this.
We have one scene, which is Daniel and Victor then get a fake passport and breath test made because they've replaced fingerprints with some even more biometric the populace did.
The breath test. No one explains what it is.
You blow into a tube and it says who you are.
Yeah. It says if you're British or not.
Yeah.
See, you have to have had at least 3 pints, otherwise you're not British.
So they get a passport and a fake breath test made, but, like, they give this, like, sort of, very sort of overacted French woman 6,000 euros.
Yeah, it's Emmanuel Macron's wife, Brigitte. Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
and then she and some, like, you know, big Frenchman are then, thank you very much, you wait in here, and we're going to go make your fake passports. And they take Daniel's passport as well. And then there's just the sound of tires screeching, when it's like, ah.
Ceci n'est pas l'inspecteur du wallet.
And again, it's you can,
like, wait here for 1 second, and he leaves, and it's just like the cartoon. Noises they like fucking book it.
Again, it's like
it's great.
Where he's again, this is something where Russell T. Davies has heard about, like, how asylum seekers are treated or whatever, and how they're scammed by, like, you know, people who are trying to, like, take advantage of them.
By the
and
French.
Again, has just written it in the most literal way possible, where it's like, okay, I guess they go to the fake passport store, but then the lady doesn't give them the fake passport.
It's an understanding of, like, migration is poor customer service.
One passport, please. Oh, fuck, two passports, please.
They link up with a people trafficker and get put into a dinghy. The dinghy is, again, as something that happens in real life, is massively overcrowded.
Yeah. Guess why you should care about this? It's because it's happening to Russell Tovey.
Oh, and it happens to Russell Tovey.
So they cross the channel at night. And then they wash up on shore, and Daniel dies. He is dead. Mm. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Don't get him started on ISIS because he's dead.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
That's right.
Yeah, good. Russell Tovey is in the gulag. He's going to have to fight his way out.
The twink gulag.
Your mission is to extract this Ukrainian twink.
So
you're in the twink gulag, Russell. You'll have to fuck your way out.
So basically...
Snake?
Victor... Not knowing what else to do or where else to go, goes back to the home.
This is so fucking insulting.
This scene emotionally affected me.
No, because, like, it should have done, apart from the fact that it fucking sucks, right? The idea that, like, we're supposed to care about this horror only because it's happening to fucking Russell Tovey, and then when we get there and we see his dead-ass corpse on the beach, we also see the British cops... Oh, well, they're comforting the surviving migrants. One of them's getting, like, a little hug off of them, off of the cops, off of, like, I guess, Kent police or whatever.
Thank you, PC Shuttlesworth.
There wasn't, like, a fucking boat full of journalists just, like, following him the whole time. Like,
Victor takes the advice from Duchesne, and he just leaves. He just books it. He just hits
Victor
the bricks.
Just, like, goes home.
He just walks home.
Yourself and the other gentleman, you was perpendicular to a dinghy, to a seaborne craft. Would you say? And then the gentleman who placed you into the dinghy, is he present with yourself?
So long, suckers! I rev up my dinghy. Yeah.
So basically, right? You've correctly observed that, like, what the point he's making is that we treat asylum seekers brutally, which is true. Wouldn't you care more if it was happening to a white person? Maybe you should care more about all. Like, that's it. Maybe
and
you should
also
care more,
like,
about
the kind of, like, the ways in which we treat them brutally are institutional and neglectful, and the malice is on the part of, like, unscrupulous foreign people who, like, traffic people, rather than, like, there is no active hostility from the British government at any point, other than like it allows people to like shop people to them. That's like it.
It's exactly the same shit they do about the war on drugs, isn't it? Where they're like, oh, when you buy cocaine, you're supporting evil cocaine dealers. It's like, yeah, where did those guys come from? Mm-hmm. Let's see, can you expand on that for me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it that those guys make so much money out of cocaine? It must be inherent to the nature of this powder.
Well, it's a serious question about like man's tendency to evil, and we don't have to answer any questions about policy.
Yeah. Well, again, it's one of these things where
man's tendency to dingy.
He is trying to make a humanist and humane point. It's just that while
and I
want to
throw it back in his face. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, trapped in this sort of in
fuck you, I hate this show. You've done an inhumane thing to all of us by making us watch it.
Yeah, and with friends like this, who needs enemies? Yeah. You know, like if this is the best you can do in terms of like mainstream things of, hey, maybe we shouldn't fucking drown these people, then go fuck yourself.
The way they choose to show it after that point is that Victor just like calls everyone on the group chat and goes, yo, man dead, sorry. And then everyone goes to his house.
Yeah.
And they're all like banging on the door in like a weird way.
I was so confused. I thought that was the cops coming after him, but no, it's not. It's just
I thought that was supposed to be like a reverie, like that wasn't most supposed to be literally happening, but that would be how he felt. But actually, no, they were literally all just at his door.
Also, it's just not what you'd do. You'd be like, okay, well, we're going to come round. Or like, well, you wouldn't just like be like, well, I must hang up on the call with him and rush round
there. There's no time to say I'm coming over.
I'll come over, stay there. That the populace took it away. You're not allowed to say goodbye anymore.
So it's it comes back to this thing where you can tell how he wants to portray the Lyons family, which is like the essence of Britain, which is basically decent but easily misled. And they just end up, like 28 days later, scratching on Victor's door.
Three lions on the shirt.
That's right. Anyway, and then the episode ends.
Ends and ends.
It ends and ends.
I'm glad there's no more of this show that we're gonna have to watch.
Oh yeah, that's the sum total of it.
I've seen the greatest Tovies of my generation destroyed by twinks.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, I think that about does it
name
for us today.
Tovey.
One more. He's the greatest Tovey of his generation, and that's why.
Yeah.
So his relatives, there are others.
It's a Highlander situation. There can only be one Tovey.
Yeah.
I think we've gone about as far as we can go with this episode of Years and Years because we finished it. We've got another one.
Call him Russell Toby because MF looks like a jock.
So we are. Thank you for listening to this Heat Madness episode of
Russell Tovey Carvery. Is that anything?
We're all going to Russell Tovey Carvery.
Sorry.
And also don't forget to check out Kill James Bond with Alice, Devin, and Abby.
Yeah, you ever heard of this fucking thing called James Bond?
Don't forget to like uncup Rory Kinnear's ass from your wall, re-moisturize it, and reapply it.
Yeah, give him some chocolate.
You leave him up there, he can't get down.
Listen here, Agent 7, we've replaced your ass with a suction cap.
We've replaced your ass with this nonce detector.
The bit in Mission Impossible where, Tom Cruise is going up that building, but he's using his ass only. Thanks for coming. I've been Devon. Thank you for listening to Kill James Bond.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Great.
So,
the thing which we assume you do.
I am going to go and try and dunk my head in some cold water to do away with my bike madness.
Bike madness.
It's been lovely for you both to come on. Do you have anything you want to promote?
I do a podcast called The Bottleman with Dan Beckner, which is about Canadian politics.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep going.
And I do a podcast called Masters of Our Domain. Alice and Dev are both.
Anyway, thanks for coming to this episode.
I made the show Years and Years. You can catch it on most streaming services. I think it's on HBO. Yeah.
I do a podcast where I rank the world's greatest Tovies. So far, there's only one episode.
My perfect Tovey.
Right. Yeah. That's a name for that. Let's hang on.
Yeah, number one, Russell Tovey.
It's called Tovey Carvery.
Episode one. Yeah, the Tovey Carvery.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I have to go put my head in cold water. I am going to see all of you, my friends, soon.
And momentarily.
You, you will hear from me, you the listeners will hear from me and us on the free episode in a couple of days. Thank you very much for thank you very much for enjoying our Heat Madness episode, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm Devin.